Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Revelation chapter 18, verses 11 through 13, titled The Wealth of the Vatican, part 2 of
the Papal Tiara. It's triple crown. 1, 2, 3. Enriched with 48 rubies, 72 sapphires, 45 emeralds, numerous little rubies and emeralds, and 66 large what?
Pearls.
And at the summit is a very large ruby. It's up there, but I can't see it from the angle. This tiara has sat unused since 1963. It's interesting. And I believe it waits to be used by the son of perdition. That crown has been sitting there since before I was born, but I promise you it's not for me. But there's coming a guy who's going to be that pope. He's going to be the final one, and he's going to see something weird. They don't even know why they do it. But the popes since Vatican II have not allowed them to set that on their heads. But the final one, he will be coronated. He's going to wear that crown. I think one of the reasons why they don't allow him to wear it is because they are not truly the power. They're not at the level of power that they should be and they want to be. And I think they've decided until we finally reach that point, we're going to save this crown for the Pope that finally comes along and is ruler of the world. Because if you remember our studies, the Roman Catholic Church and the popes themselves claim control over the whole world. They believe they should be king of the entire world, global king. The Vatican owns the publicly held companies who sell all these items that we've been listing. Fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet. You do your homework if you can, first of all, find the information because it comes and goes. And you know, they'll sell and trade, so their company holdings change and everything. But as you watch, you'll see they own companies that sell all this stuff. This vessels of ivory, I couldn't find the story, but just a few months ago, they found where the Vatican was knowingly buying things made of ivory illegally. They were killing these elephants and taking their ivory tusks and making things of it, and the Vatican was buying it. But that shouldn't surprise you because they have drug busts constantly of priests on their way to the Vatican with cocaine. So ivory tusks is kind of like child's play. Cinnamon, odors, ointments. Of course, odors and ointments, that they use the incense and all that. Frankincense, which is one of those things. Wine and oil and fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, and chariots. This is from a book put out by Avro Manhattan. He says, the Catholic Church, therefore, once all her assets have been put together, is the most formidable stockbroker in the world. The Wall Street Journal said that the Vatican's finance deals in the U.S. alone were so big that very often it sold or bought gold in lots of $1 million or more at a time. Therefore, the Vatican was and still is the most redoubtable wealth accumulator and property owner in existence. No one knows for certain how much the Catholic Church was or is worth in terms of dollars and other currencies, not even the Pope himself. That is the true situation borne out by a Vatican official who, when asked to make a guess at the Vatican's wealth today, replied very tellingly, "Only God knows." Avro Manhattan. But as we close out this study, look at this. Slaves and souls of men. Think of that. Is that true?
Yeah.
This happened a little over 3 years ago. Missing girl buried in murder mobster's tomb was kidnapped for Vatican sex parties. This was a confession of a Catholic priest to the authorities. The Catholic Church's leading exorcist priest has sensationally claimed a missing schoolgirl thought to be buried in a murdered gangster's tomb was kidnapped for Vatican sex parties. Father Gabriel Amorth, 85, who has carried out 70,000 exorcisms, spoke out as investigators continue to examine mobster Enrico de Pedice's tomb in their hunt for Emanuela Orlandi, who's the name of the girl, and so forth. That, and it's been an ongoing investigation of sex slavery in the Vatican, and our media in America will not cover it. It's covered in Italy. And if you find an English-Italian newspaper online, you can find some of this information. But why is it covered up here in America? Two reasons. I mean, Vatican owns a lot of the media.
$850 million a week.
And they can say what they want, but people like Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, all these people are Catholic. And they're not going to talk bad about Mother Church.
For centuries, it was a favorite joke that Rome had more prostitutes than any other city because she had the most celibates. The sexual exploits of supposedly celibate priests and nuns, once hushed up, are increasingly being brought to light. Homosexual priests are dying of AIDS worldwide, with estimates that as many as 70% of priests in some seminaries are practicing homosexuals.
You get that number?
The Roman Catholic Church in America has paid out an estimated $1 billion in the past few years in out-of-court settlements to conceal sexual abuse among the clergy. I have a file more than 2 inches thick, filled with news articles involving sexual immorality of Roman Catholic clergy just within the past 5 years. It's not that Catholic priests and nuns are any more lustful than the average person. They may have started out with higher ideals, but they have had imposed upon them the unbiblical rule of celibacy, which becomes a burden too great to bear.
Amen. Forbidding men to marry is a doctrine of devils. And it produces this. And they have slaves in the Vatican. They just busted not too long ago a homosexual prostitution ring being run out of an apartment complex in the Vatican. And some of the reports said it was just one of a dozen, that they haven't been able to close them all down yet. They won't close them all down. There's much more to this and does not even touch the number working in sweatshops owned by the Vatican whore. I'm talking about slaves. And it says souls of men. Think of this.
For centuries, the payment of money was to have brought deliverance from purgatory. That practice eventually troubled Martin Luther's conscience and sparked the Reformation. Who can forget the infamous sales pitch of the Dominican friar Tetzel, commissioned by Pope Leo X to reap a fortune for Rome? Quote, "As soon as a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs," unquote. With such fraudulently obtained money, St. Peter's Cathedral was built and repaired. This was nothing new. Rome had consistently sold salvation for centuries. Popes published lists of every crime from incest to piracy to murder, and the price for which the church would give absolution for each.
It's like a menu.
For example, a deacon guilty of murder could be absolved for 20 crowns. The anointed malefactors, as they were called, once pardoned by the church, could not be prosecuted by civil authorities because the church reigned supreme. Here's a further abomination, filling the woman's cup, selling tickets to heaven that actually send people to hell. Similar practices continue in Roman Catholicism to this day.
This is now.
This is a mass card obtainable from any mortuary. Fill in your name and the name of the deceased. In exchange for an offering, the priest will place the card on the altar when he says Mass. allegedly reducing the time of suffering for the deceased in purgatory. Of course, the Church makes no guarantee as to how much the suffering will be shortened, nor how many more masses must be said before the gates of heaven can be opened. Consequently, multiple masses are purchased in the hope that eventually there will be enough. A friend told me that at his father's funeral, more than $2,000 in mass cards were purchased. Vatican II declares, "The Church teaches and commands that the usage of indulgences, such as mass cards, a usage most beneficial to Christians and approved by the authority of the sacred councils, should be kept in the Church. And it condemns with anathema those who say that indulgences are useless or that the Church does not have the power to grant them."
That was Vatican II. People are telling you, oh, the Catholic Church has changed. Yeah, it's become more deceptive. It's become worse. And since Vatican II, they still tell you that you can buy people out of hell. And that is making merchandise of the souls of men.
Yep.
Tell me what other state church organization on the planet that does that. Folks, it's just a hard-line truth. You can't get away from this reality. There is nobody else, no other organization on the planet that fulfills, from Revelation 17:1 to the end of Revelation 18, all the requirements to be called the Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great Whore. It's just that simple. Straightforward. Anybody says that the Roman Catholic Church doesn't fulfill that role, I think is either purposely trying to deceive you, or they just were in rebellion against the Word of God. Once again, it is clear who the whore is. It's Vatican Rome. And like so many professing Christians today, these will refuse to repent of their sins to the bitter end. These people who are part of this system already, and that includes the ecumenical Christians and the ecumenical Muslims and the ecumenical Buddhists and the ecumenical Hindus and the ecumenical fill in the blanks. They're all already in bed with the whore. And they will refuse to repent to the bitter end. In Revelation 9:20, it says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues." We're talking after God has just been wiping all the wicked out. "Yet repented not of the works of their hands." And by the way, folks, that's not just repenting of your unbelief.
Amen.
That's repenting of your wicked sin of idolatry. "That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." By contrast, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ,
amen,
as of a lamb without blemish and without spot."
Amen.
It gets difficult when you see all this stuff. It gets difficult because it makes you angry. There's so many people suffering in this world, so many poor, so many hungry, so many homeless, so many people that could be helped by this monstrous whore that in our midst is given such respect. So much so that I know for a fact that there are some people who have purposely kept their loved ones from hearing what I'm teaching tonight. Because they're scared to death their loved ones will hear someone speak ill of another Christian denomination.
Amen.
I know, I've been told, they've admitted it to me. They said, "Well, I wouldn't want them to hear that, and so I didn't tell them about the website." So what do you think we're here for? We're here to tell people the truth. If they don't like it, that's between them and God. If someone gets mad at me, gets mad at us, because we're simply telling the truth, so be it. Amen. We are not worried about the silver and the gold that this whore is accumulating. We're not concerned with the fact that there is this great conspiracy for world government, because we know that we are bought by the blood of the Lamb, and that that Lamb is going to return as a conquering king, and he is going to destroy the whole cotton picking mess. Yep. And you and I are going to return with him, and we are going to rule and reign with him. But those who are standing against us as we preach the truth, they are going to be destroyed. So why do we care what they think? They're fools. And you've got to get this deep in your mind and heart, folks, so that when you deal with these people, you don't forget it. Because it's real easy to let it just slip out of your mind and take these people so seriously that you will compromise. And that's what's going on today with the majority of Christians. They hide from the truth. There are half a dozen of you right here today who have told me in the last 2 or 3 months, I'm not going to name you, but I could, you've told me in the last 2 or 3 months that someone you have tried to talk to told you they didn't want to hear the truth.
That's right. Amen.
They are going to answer for knowing they could have known the truth and they rejected it.
Right.
You don't just answer for the fact you hear the truth and then don't respond to it. You answer for the fact you know where to find the truth and you reject it. How many people have sat in the motel room with a Gideon King James Bible? By the way, Gideon has gone into apostasy and they've started putting new King James Bibles in the motels, and we saw it when we were away. But most of the hotels still to this day have a King James Bible, and they've sat there and they've chosen instead of the King James Bible to turn on the porn. They're going to answer for that. Over and over in their lives, they choose not to turn to the truth. Repentance is the will of God. Did you know that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Got to put this in here because of the idiots that we're dealing with today. Repentance is not a work. 2 Timothy 2:25 and elsewhere says that God gives repentance. Say that with me. God gives repentance. If God gives it to you, is it a work?
No.
Repentance is not a work. Therefore, anyone who says repentance is a work is a liar. I'm being accused of preaching work salvation because I preach repentance. Those people are liars. Repentance is not a work. All you do is hear the words of God telling you how that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and he rose again the third day. And you hearing that, receive it, and God grants you repentance and faith, and you turn toward God with repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how it happens.
Amen.
And you can't boast or brag about it. Amen. Except to boast and brag about Jesus.
Amen.
And 2 Peter 3:19, read that with me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the thing I'm dealing with today is that there's a partial repentance being taught. That God only wants you to repent of certain things. Where did I see that? Doesn't say, come to repentance of your unbelief. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say, come to repentance of your sin nature. It doesn't even say come to repentance of your sins. Why? Because it's not partial. It's repentance, period. It's of what you are. It's of what you do. It's of what you believe. And if you won't repent without disclaimers, you're not repenting. Come on.
Amen.
I know more than one of you but agree with that.
Amen.
And that's what we're dealing with today. Is we're talking about people who will not come to repentance, and they will not come to repentance on God's terms. They want to come to God on their own terms. Like Trump says, you got to know how to negotiate. You ain't going to negotiate with God. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Only wicked men unwilling to repent of what they are, the sin nature, what they do, personal sins, and their opinions, unbelief, will be damned. Those are the only people who are going to be damned. That's good news.
Amen.
Oh, you want to say that again? That's good news.
Amen.
Unless you're one of the wicked. And tonight, we can close shop tonight, shut her down, knowing that everybody in this room ought to be saved. We ought to see everybody in this room in heaven.
Amen.
I don't. There's nobody in this room that ought to go to hell.
Amen.
If you go to hell, it's your fault.
Yes.
If you go to hell, you're not going to look at me or anyone in this room and say you didn't do enough.
Right.
That goes for people listening on the radio. That goes for people listening and watching on the internet.
Yes.
Nobody who hears the gospel, unadulterated, unedited, without disclaimers, should go to hell. And we close up tonight saying, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I don't deserve it at all, but I'm saved.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You,
stand with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything you showed us tonight in your word. Even though some of it is ugly, it's truth. And we're looking around, seeing it just set, the stage being set right before our eyes. And even this wickedness of people who will not even repent, even during the tribulation when all hell is breaking loose, they still will not repent. We're seeing that today, right now. We're seeing that attitude and that rebellion building up in people, refusing to repent. Running around telling people they don't need to repent. It's a sickening, terrible thing, but at the same time, it's a fulfillment of prophecy, and it is encouraging because we see the hand of God. We know you're coming soon. Lord, in the meantime, we just ask that you give us, each one of us, the measure of your Spirit that we need. Help us to be in your word, to be in prayer, to be preaching the gospel, and always looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen.
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 Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride, with sinful pride. Then my Savior came along, and He showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more I'll abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
From the straight and narrow way, I was drifting every day, out upon the waters deep and wide, so deep and wide. But it all is over now, glory light is on my brow. And my soul is on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more I'll abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in Him so often I confide. confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave him full control, and he placed me on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side, yes, I'm on the winning side, out in sin no more I'll abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
Nice. Oh, I'm going to play this. I'm going to give you.